into the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Hello, everybody. Welcome back after this very long hiatus to the original season 2, episode 10. Gonna set your flag on fire. I should have planned the timing better so that Pipple and I said fire at the same time.
Yeah. Oh,
that would have been so cool.
That would have been great.
You guys, you should have helped me out a little bit there.
I mean, I can't help you do everything.
Thank you. And with the snarky comments, we've got Tiana Hobson over there.
What's up? What's up?
And of course, next to her, the little less snarky, Katie Campbell.
Hello.
And I am Roxy Stryer, and we are so happy to be back. It was way too long of a hiatus, mm-hmm. CW. You're giving me heart palpitations. So welcome back, and guys, what did you think of this episode? We're starting, would it be the premiere, the mid-season premiere?
Yes. Yeah.
So what did you think of the mid-season premiere for the originals?
I liked it, but the ending was the best part for me.
The end of the episode or the fact that it ended?
The end of the episode. What they did with the end of the episode. Surprise that we got.
All right.
I thought it was exciting. There's a lot of information. We're coming back from a big cliffhanger with, you know, we don't know what's happening with Rebecca. And it was an exciting episode. It wasn't the best episode, but it was their highest rated episode of the season. I just read that in a tweet. So it came back from hiatus, and it has the highest ratings so far this season.
What, do you know what the ratings were?
No, I didn't read that much.
What am I thinking?
I read the headlines, not the whole article. Come on.
So you didn't have time to do that, but you did have time to watch this episode twice and rewatch the mid-season finale, just saying.
Well, don't tell my boss what I was doing at work today.
Hopefully not watching this after show right now. All right, let's jump right into it then, guys. So we have a bunch of different situations where people are stuck in places they don't want to be. Mm-hmm. That seems to be the theme of tonight. And one of those is the vampires and the wolves are stuck together. And it's really bad because Finn's put them there. And I guess he did this weird blood squeezing thing that would honestly almost made me puke.
It was gross.
What was he doing? He was like skinning a lamb or something.
I thought it was like a shark and he was gutting it.
A shark?
I don't know why. Like a mini shark.
Isn't that so weird? We didn't converse about that, but I thought it was lamb. Yeah. You thought it was a shark?
I mean, I definitely was more on the lamb side of this thought process just because why would there be a shark?
Is that a sacrificial lamb?
Yeah.
I don't know why.
A sacrificial shark?
It looked like a shark to me.
I just feel like lambs are easier to capture than a shark.
I'm just kind of hoping it wasn't a human.
There was that went through my mind as well because I don't know. It just seemed like pheasant. Maybe a pheasant. I don't know. I couldn't really watch that part that much because
the blood was just.
It was too much.
So I guess we can spare you guys the gory details if you had to fast forward through that part. You know that he made it so that the vampires are very, very hungry.
Yeah.
This is a huge issue because we already are having problems with the vampires and the wolves. They seem to hate each other. And I don't know, do you guys have a side in this? Do you feel like you're more on vamp side, more on wolf side? Because I feel very torn.
Well, they said that the vampires, Marcel and his vampires, and we saw that in season one, they were trying to take over the whole town, the city.
Right.
So I guess he put them through hell. Mm-hmm. But I don't have a side. I just think they should get along and get over it, whatever happened in the past.
Peacemaker Katie.
Mm-hmm. I'm on team Can't We All Just Get Along?
Yeah.
Like, I want everyone to get along because I do think that what's happened in the past was horrible, but there was wrongdoings on both sides. Mm. And I feel like we're harping on what the vampires were doing as the bad side. And, I mean, the wolves, they had their day when they were running the quarter, too, so they did bad things as well. So I just think that what's done is done, and to move forward, it's a new generation of vampires, a new generation of wolves. Let's just move forward and try and work together.
So some people are on your guys' team. Specifically, Haley's on your team. Marcel's on your team. They just have and Klaus seems to be on your team. They seem to have more of an incentive for everybody to get along, though, especially the hybrids who kind of straddle the line here. But other people aren't so much on the same page. And one of the names that kept coming up tonight, Katie's...
Jarek.
So we keep hearing Jarek, and every time I'm pausing, I'm like, is that Jared?
I thought it was Jared.
Yeah, it was very confusing. Who is this Jarek character, and why are they throwing his name at us so much?
He's going to be somebody. I think he's going to have this opposition towards this piece, because they wouldn't be mentioning his name and saying, what is Jarek doing here? We're like, who's Jarek? Like, what is he doing here? Who is that?
But yeah.
He's going to be somebody, I think, in the next coming episodes.
Wait, are you guys talking about when they walked up?
It happened like four times, yeah. And then be like, "Who's? Oh, it's Jarek again." Yeah, it's like, "Who the hell is Jarek?"
I must have missed that. All I heard was, "What's Aiden doing here?"
Well, he was chilling with Aiden for a little.
He said, Jackson said, "What's Jarek doing here?" And Haley's like, "Aiden gathered them all up."
And then at one point, we see Jarek push somebody. Mm-hmm. Really, Jarek was pushed. Whatever, he seems like a problem caller to me.
In the altercation. But then Gia also came in and said, I'm annoyed with Jarek's attitude. Yeah. Something.
Well, speaking of Gia, I'm a little annoyed with Gia's attitude, and Marcel is also. I mean, we didn't get that much of her tonight, but we kind of had been feeling a little of a Gia-Marcel romance for a second. Any vibes that I was feeling there are gone this week. How did you guys feel about Gia with or without Marcel?
I just forgot about that until just now.
I was like, we thought they were going to get together.
Well, didn't we see him push her against a wall when he was trying to help her? Elijah was against the wall with her.
Yeah.
Oh, and there's no communication with them because Elijah's in his own stuck position right now.
I never thought that was going to be anything, though.
Oh, maybe it was just me.
I think so, sweetie.
Oh, it's such a hard life for me. You know, I miss being on the same side of the table as somebody, and now I just feel so all alone. I'm stuck in my own
place. Yeah, it's because we're not next to each other. You can't get my vibes right now, so we're not communicating as well because...
I don't know if it's get your vibes as much as kick you under the table.
There was a lot of abuse over there.
It's a little far for my legs. I'm pretty short, so you know, it's kind of hard for me. Maybe if I was a vampire, then I could just come over there, snap your neck really quick.
Oh. Really fast.
Yeah.
But if I'm a witch, that would kill me.
Well, you know, sometimes you just have to make sacrifices.
Wow.
So, anyway, speaking of witches, tonight we come across two witches that are so in love and trying to help everybody. Colvina.
Oh, my gosh.
I can't help it.
So in love?
I'm obsessed. I know
you are. I think about you because I watched the episode before.
You think
before.
About me?
Yeah. No, but when I was watching the episode the first time, I watched it twice. The first time, I was like, oh, Roxy would love this right now. And you did.
I loved it.
So great.
I think it's really, really sweet and romantic. And I know that everybody's like, okay, he's going to screw her over. But somehow, I don't think that's true. And I think he's in love.
He's for himself.
What do you think?
I think that he's out for himself. Does he like Davina? Yes.
Do you see her smile?
She like him? Yes. Do I trust him with her? Hell to the no.
Yeah.
Because he's only in it for himself. He's gonna screw it up no matter what. The opening of the episode in the description of Cole, he's out. He's only looking after himself.
I wanted to touch upon that for a second because I love that a lot of CW shows do this. The opening of their episodes after they've been on hiatus for a while is basically like, by the way, audience, if you forgot what happened, here's what it is. And they just give you like this brief summary of where everybody is and who everyone is. Thanks. I don't even mean that sarcastically. Like, I needed that for a minute because so much happens on this show. And so much time had passed, and it was like, oh yeah, I guess we still do look at him as selfish and only out for himself. And especially because I did go back and watch a lot of those the things online, the CW website where they're showing the Cole
episodes.
Things. Yeah, they really want to make him look like the villain.
I think he
want to because he is the he villain. Is.
All right, have you seen Finn? Because if you've seen Finn.
Finn is a whole other problem
Finn,
in itself.
Finn is the villain right now, and then Cole's going to be the villain later.
All right. Well, if Cole's such a villain, then why is he trying to get everybody out of this guarded place? he's trying to help.
Yeah.
Or is it because he thinks he's going to die inside?
He thinks he's going to die inside.
Only selfish.
Well, he wants to play the fence and be, you know, he didn't
the hero?
Yeah, to pretend he is, but he really has other intentions.
Well, we know that's true because we were privy to what he did with Rebecca.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I don't know, tonight he tries to make it sound like he was playing a practical joke. Do you guys think that's legitimate, or do you think that it was really malicious? Give me those eyes, Tiana.
It was malicious. Even in the winter finale, he said, you know, oh, I got her back, you know, don't worry, though, she's safe, she's fine, which... I don't know if he knew what was going on in that house. He knew that the witches have been sending their kind of like off the rocker people that way. So it was a malicious thing that he did to get even with his sister, which I can't blame him for. Like, what I love about all these characters is that they're ruthless, they're rude, they're all of these things, but the writers have done such a great job at telling us why they are like that.
Right.
So I understand why he's like that. It doesn't mean that I like him any more or less. It just, I understand him, but then I also still don't trust him as far as I could throw him.
Mm.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong, but I thought that Davina knew that he did this. Didn't we find out in the mid-season finale that she knew that he put Rebecca not in whatever that random girl's body was?
She knew that. She doesn't know where.
Yeah, she doesn't know about where he put her and the whole situation of that house.
But she knows that it's not in the body that everybody else thinks.
Yes.
Which is, you know, not that Davina's gone completely to the dark side, but I feel like it's a little dark for her and that he's starting to rub off on her in some ways, which could be really interesting to watch if she turns bad or if she turns at least Cole-ish bad. Bad as Cole.
I think he's a bad influence on her for sure, and we're going to see some of that.
Maybe she's a good influence on him.
We'll see. I just see the bad. I just see her picking up on more of his traits more than him picking up on hers, and that's what scares me about Cole and Davina being together. They're cute together. Like, would
well,
I want to see?
They're both attractive.
Would I want to see those babies? Hell yeah! But I don't like what he's doing to her because she's been used so many times, and she puts up this wall with the people who are actually looking out for her, like Marcel, and even Klaus most of the time is trying to protect Davina. She's just been burned so many times that she doesn't trust those people anymore. And here's a new guy who she does trust, but it's not a good guy.
Well, remember, Klaus also protects her for Cammy's sake.
Yes.
That's true. A lot of people on the show are protecting somebody for somebody else's sake. It's like, well, I don't actually like you, but this person likes you, and I like this person, so I guess I'll like you because this person likes you. Transitive property means I'll like you, too. Which is a great time to segue to, I wanted to give everybody a chance to find us, because I know we're always updating how we're getting out to you guys here at AfterBuzz. And actually, for the originals, we are going live on YouTube to you guys. So if you're watching this later on, know that 6 o'clock on Tuesday Pacific time, we are live on YouTube. You can actually go and talk to us in the chat. Tiana is our resident chat reader. We got to find a better name for you than that. It should have been snazzier. Sorry, I'll think of one for next time. Our resident cheater. Chat reader?
Oh, that's
even worse.
Yeah.
All right. Well, anyway, she's reading.
Stop trying right now.
Doing too much. She's reading all your guys' comments, and she can chime in as she pleases with what you guys have to say. So we really, really care about everything you guys have to say if you can watch live. If not, as always, you can go to iTunes, you can go to YouTube, rate, comment, subscribe. We read everything, and we text about it throughout the week and say how much we love you guys as fans and as fans of the original. So thank you so much, and keep up the commentary.
And I will just say this, everyone in the chat right now on YouTube, you guys are amazing and you're saying so many things, and I'm trying to keep up and type back and listen to what Roxy and Katie are doing. This is my first time, so I will get better at it as we go along. So.
We'll stick with you.
Yeah.
We got you, girl.
Just give me a trial, you know? Give me a couple weeks to figure it out.
Okay, here's who else I'm sticking with. Aiden and Josh. I'm
obsessed. Oh my gosh.
I know. I know that I'm a huge Colvina fan, and it just seems like I like every couple, but you guys know that's very not true. But Aiden and Josh, what's their ship name?
Jaden.
Ooh, I even like that name. That's sexy.
Jaden.
All about it. All about Jaden. Not about the secrecy as much. What are you guys thinking?
I know. I feel bad. I know we saw that it was going to be a problem, the secrecy, and not telling, you know, their people about what's happening just because of the war, which, again, like, why do we have to have this war between them? Like, get over it. Let's have peace.
Totally. Well, it was interesting because when Aiden first says, like, I don't know if I can say this, Josh assumes that he means about being gay, not about him being a vampire, which was really funny to see because Aiden's like, yo, back up. This is 2015. I don't care about that. You're a vampire. Yeah. We have bigger issues going on. Yeah.
Like, no one's going to care that you're gay. It's they're going to care that you're a vampire.
Right, which I thought was it was comical, and I love their relationship, but I'm not liking how one-sided the hiddenness is. You know, if they both decided, for now, we need to keep this a secret because neither of our clans will respect this or will think it's okay. It'd be one thing, but Josh has told all of his friends, which means that the likelihood of it getting out is tenfold. So do you guys think that somehow somebody else is going to spill the beans?
Yeah. I think it's going to get out and cause a problem for them.
I kind of wanted someone to catch that makeout scene.
I kind of wanted to catch that makeout scene. I wanted to join that makeout scene.
Yeah, what? But I was just like, oh my gosh, they're doing it so publicly. Maybe someone's going to see, but I don't know who it will be, but I think that it will end up getting out. I love that Josh came to Aiden's rescue early on, or, you know, when he was starting to get attacked, and I thought maybe that was going to be a sign to everyone, like, hey, maybe.
But
you know what was really cute, though, when they finally did leave the werewolves, and they were just like,
well, it was kind of awkward because he saved him. Yes, Josh saved Aiden, but then Josh's face got all bloody and stuff, and he got those veins popping out. Like, I know I just saved people from sucking your blood, but now I'm going to pounce on you.
But you can't blame him.
You kind of can.
I wouldn't be mad. Like, that's your nature as a vampire.
You wouldn't be mad if your boyfriend tried to... If your boyfriend Josh tried to suck your blood and you're Aiden and you're sitting there and he could kill you.
No, because he just needs to figure out how to control that and he'll be fine.
But I feel like none of these people could control it. And Josh is one of the oldest of this crew of vampires.
But we have to remember that Finn put that spell on everyone to make their cravings go like times a million.
But Finn could do that all the time.
He could, but he has better control of it when there's not something forcing him to only think about blood. In that moment, that's all he could think about. But think of all the times they've been together and they've been alone.
Right.
He's had a heartbeat and those pulsing veins that are just never dripping with blood all over the place, and he's never once had the urge to go for a bite.
I agree, but I was talking to Katie about this when we were watching, and you know, these witches, I don't even think we give them enough credit. They are by far and away the most powerful of vampires, even hybrids, wolves, whatever it is. These witches really have the power. And if somebody wants them to always be this hungry, then they'll always be that hungry. You kind of have to prepare for the worst case situation. So I wouldn't be surprised if Aiden started to think it was too dangerous for him to be with Josh, which would be sad because I love them. But could you think that could happen?
I think that it could go either way, though, because wolves, their natural enemy is the vampire. So right. What if there's something, you know, about, Aiden that, you know, kind of triggers for Josh? It could go either way. They're both dangerous creatures, and they're finding a way to not fight each other right now because of their love. Their love is so strong that it will help them.
I don't think it's going to go that way of where they start separating because of that.
And because fans are really loving this couple right now. Mm-hmm. You know, the best way to get along with an enemy is to find another common enemy that you hate more than you hate that person. So the wolves might hate the vampires and the vampires might hate the wolves, but they both hate more right now would be Finn, who is an actual, for lack of better words, terrorist. Like, this, he's gotta go. He's got to go. He's a psycho right
he's
now.
Scary.
He's on the loose. He's, I mean, what he does in this episode from start to finish, horrifying.
I think he plays a really good villain.
Oh, actor, you said.
Yeah.
You're loving the character?
Yeah.
See, for me, I don't know what it is, but I like villains that at least, like Tiana was talking about earlier, I can kind of see why they're doing what they're doing or where they're coming from. Him, he walks his path alone at this point.
Well, I think his reason why, I don't think it's justifiable, but his reason why is because he's honestly jealous of his brothers and sisters, and he wanted that full attention, and he touched on it, talking about, I saw what happened to our family after Freya. And he's just so inside torn up over that. That's making him crazy. I think that's not justifiable, but that's his reason. That's his background.
I get that. I get that. I think that it's really, really hard to understand, though, even after he sees what goes on with his mom and even after his dad saves him, why he would still choose to do this by himself.
I think he's just he's hit that point of no return where he's been a yes man for so long. He's watched his family get torn apart. He never liked being a vampire. He even says at the end, you know, how happy the family was, you know, before Freya got taken away. And at this point, something in his mind just cracks and he is just out for blood now, and I think
pun
it's going
to
yes, pun definitely intended. I think it's going to be exciting to watch as he tries to do it all on his own, because in his mind he's having the mental break right now of a psychopath.
Yeah, of an actual psychopath.
So it's kind of great that they're taking his character to this whole other level, because before this season we didn't really know Finn. We didn't no one cared about Finn, the oldest son.
Let's
break
down what he's actually done in this episode. So, yes, he's locked everybody in. And, yes, he's torturing his siblings. But he's also started the episode by doing something weird with Michael. I don't even really know what that something is. He's put him in some chalk thing.
You know, Michael said he's going to help him and they're going to take them down together, but I feel like he did that without Michael's consent.
You know, after Michael said that to him, he kind of gave Michael those eyes, like,
crazy.
That's what you think.
Yeah.
Mu-ha-ha-ha. The crazy eyes. So we didn't see the in-between, but I'm with you, Katie. I think that wasn't part of Michael's plan.
No.
So what is it that he's done that he put Michael in this outline thing, and now he's also found Esther, been upset with Esther because she was hungry and turned, which, by the way, outrageous that she became the very thing that she always hated the most. Sucks to suck.
I loved his lines to her.
feel like there's no better phrase than that.
Oh. I loved his lines to her, though, when he was talking to her, saying, you know, I used to have basically respect for you and you had this conviction and, oh my gosh, that was a really good scene.
It's when you find out everything you've been fighting for is kind of a lie. Or at least the person you've been fighting for.
Well, that's why I always hated how her character was so just against her children, who they are and what they're doing. But she just flipped to survive.
Yeah.
On her own.
What she said back to them was ridiculous. She was like, but I was hungry and I, what?
Have you not heard your
kids say the exact same thing for centuries and centuries? Are you kidding me?
No. Basically what happened there was she didn't want to die because she's a selfish person.
Yeah, 100%.
And I just don't understand. Like I agreed with Finn in this situation, because you went against your morals.
Right.
And it was your morality that had me rallying behind you, and you've lost that now. And I think that he's using Michael as he's using him as the anchor, because he did make note to say to him, you are very powerful.
Right.
We can do this together. And then I think with Esther too, he's kind of getting all this power to kind of help him take on an army of vampires, werewolves, and his siblings.
Right.
How is he getting power from Michael, though?
Well, because this is what Davina had speculated. She said, I think that Finn, excuse me, must be using dark magic, and that he has a dark object. Little does she know that he has Michael,
he's the dark object.
Which I guess he is the dark object. And either one of two things, either Michael consented to this and was like, you need to use my body in order to do this, or Finn kind of knocked him over the head with something or whatever he did to get him out and now is using his body. But I didn't know that Michael was considered himself to be a dark object. Was there anything in the past about that, or is it just that he's the cruelest person on earth, so what could be darker than dark?
I don't know.
I just think that we've seen them use Klaus as an anchor before, and we've seen, you know, so maybe there is just something about, because they are all mythical creatures.
Are you using anchor in, like, the Bonnie term? Sorry, going to a Vampire Diaries reference, but, like, the anchor as in between the other side kind of anchor, or anchor as in, like,
maybe
anchoring magic?
Anchoring magic. Maybe I'm using the wrong term here because they didn't say what exactly he was doing, and that's
aren't you
just
supposed to be a witch? Get your terms right.
sorry. I'm doing so much
witchy
right
woman.
Now. I'm doing so much. But I think that they're channeling their magic from Michael. Does that make more sense?
And now they can, it does make sense, but now not only did he have all of that power and he's only channeling Michael, but now he's going to be able to channel Esther as well. Mm. So is that going to give him twice the amount of power? Are somehow Michael and Esther in another place mentally right now and they're going to be able to work together to take him over? Are they going to wake up and be like, he's the only psycho one of our kids, let's get him? Is everybody joined together? What are we thinking? What are we thinking this situation, this weird trio is going to bring about?
I don't think they're going to get out unless...
The parents?
Yeah, unless something physically happens to their bodies. They're moved out of that circle or whatever the case. I don't think they can do it from the inside their minds.
Okay. What are you thinking, T?
I'm thinking that I don't know what's going to happen to those poor parents. And I use poor parents very loosely.
That just happened.
Very loosely. I use that very, very loosely.
You're starting to feel bad.
Well, no. In the case of Finn taking them over, I just don't know what Finn's plan is. And he's had a psychotic breakdown. So who knows what he has in store. Mm. So that's why I say poor, because I am also I'm a human being myself. So when I see other people getting hurt, even if they deserve it, I'm still going to be like, woo.
Whoever thought that Finn would be the big bad over Michael and Esther? That's insane.
I thought it was going there.
Oh, well, then my question is answered. Who thought? Katie thought.
Katie thought. Fair. Katie's smart.
Fair enough.
Katie is smart.
All right, we're moving on to a little bit of ship wars here, guys. Because it seemed like the perfect segue, talking about hating your parents to moving on to ships. Great. So, Jackson and Haley. You know, there's a lot of love going on with Haley and other people. Obviously, we've got Clayley fans out there, so Klaus and Haley. We've got Haley and Elijah fans out there. We've got Haley and Jackson fans out there. We've got people who want Haley to be by herself. We got people who just want Haley to be with Hope, but whatever it is, there's all different people.
There was a Haley and Marcel moment, too, right?
There was a Haley and Marcel moment.
Group of
sure.
people who like...
Sure. I mean, I even liked the girlmance between Haley and Rebecca. What would be the female bromance term? Girlmance? Chickmance?
Besties?
Sure, sure. You guys let me know at home. Thank you.
Romance. Sorry, I had to chime in.
That's what I was thinking.
And thank you, Josh. Fair enough. Okay. So I like that little bit of a homance that we had.
Homance.
But tonight we saw a lot of Jackson and Haley together. And we saw them decide to be honest. And I think this was because of a conversation she had with Klaus, actually, which is really interesting. So where we left off was Haley was sleeping with Elijah.
Love it.
In a very, very sexy scene.
Loved it.
No, you did. you're a Elijah for life. I know.
I am.
And then we came back, and Klaus clearly knows what happened, is kind of poking fun at her, and says this weird line about how relationships aren't built on trust.
Love.
But on love. Foundation isn't built on love. It's built on how well you can...
Oh. The decency of merciful lies.
Yes.
That's how he worded really it. Interesting.
Let's talk about whether we concur. I mean,
to be honest, the strongest foundation, sure, maybe, because if...
You think the strongest foundation is
built
on that?
Well, I believe, the truth will always come out and the truth will set you free, and I like the truth, but I think it's justifiable that lying would build a strong foundation because of the ignorance thing. Ignorance is bliss.
Yeah, but if the truth does always come out, then we're going to have an issue. And ignorance is no longer.
Right.
But I did think, they weren't married yet. Did you think it was necessary for her to tell him that she was sleeping with Elijah all weekend?
I got a lot of flack on our last episode because I said I was disappointed in Haley for sleeping with Elijah. And people got on me about why wasn't I mad at him too. And I was.
Of course.
And I am.
Because but he wasn't the one in the relationship.
But also, they were both at fault, and I will say that. And what I didn't appreciate from Haley's character is that she just told Jackson, we're going to do this, and then she went and did that. And I get that she had to get it out of her system or that it was building up, but it's just, you gave your word about something, and I felt like Haley has always been a girl of honor, and her word means everything, so then to go do that seemed out of character in my eyes of Haley.
I don't think it was wrong because they're not in a relationship. They were, that's the first time they're like, okay, let's do this. Let's get married and let's make everybody hybrid and go through with this to save our people. To save our people is like the bottom line of what they said they were doing that for. And she obviously loves Elijah. And I think that there was no wrong in them sleeping together.
I don't think we could say there was no wrong because it was like maybe their engagement night. So I would say there would be a little wrong on everybody's part. But I don't know. It's a weird situation because if the bottom line is to save our people and that's all that matters, then it's a little selfish of her to go sleep with Elijah because it shouldn't matter. But if the bottom line is I'm in love and I need to do this for myself, then that's what she needed to do. Mm. It's just crazy because, and that's why I love this show. It's not like black and white, and I don't hate Jackson. Mm-hmm. You know, we're not looking at her like, oh, woe is me. She's about to end up with somebody who's a complete D-bag. She's about to end up with an amazing guy. A sexy, amazing, fabulous guy who loves
Isn't
her
having crazy
her.
Flashbacks of horrible things he's just did with right. anger issues.
Right.
I feel Sorry, bad Alicia. For him. I feel bad for Jackson because he obviously loves her and he has these real feelings for her. And I think she really wants to love him, but she's also in love with Elijah. I don't know. I think she could develop feelings.
Yeah, there were two things that rubbed me wrong about the whole thing. One was that it's like I just told you are the guy I'm dating. Okay, we're going to be boyfriend and girlfriend, and then I go sleep with a guy who I've been seeing on the side because I'm like, before this is really official, let me get this. Like, that's wrong. And then the second thing, I can't remember right now because that first one took me out of my thought train. So I'll get back to you on what the other thing that bothered
me. What I wanted to ask you, though, T, was did this help right the wrong because she was honest about it, at least? So you feel like because she did come clean, it's a little better.
It is better. I'm glad she did not keep it a secret because, again, that would have seemed out of character for her to me. And that was the biggest thing. It seems out of character for her to, because she is someone who's very honorable and always is out to do the right thing.
Right.
And, oh, that was the other thing that bothered me. She knew that in order for this marriage to work and to save their people, that it has to be true and genuine. Like, she can't go off and do these things like this. So that's why I understand why she was like, let me get out of the way. But you couldn't have gotten out of the way before you agreed to marry him.
Well, speaking, yeah, a couple months, babe.
Yeah.
Speaking of her being honorable and everything, she did feel guilty. And Klaus said that to her, he's like, I see you feel guilty. And I like the fact that she did say to him what she did.
Yeah.
But I love more that he came back later on in the episode and was like, I shouldn't have gotten mad at you. Like, you were just being honest.
Yeah, that's true. My question is to Elijah and Clayley fans out there. Even if you're on those teams and even if that's your ship, can you still support a Jackson-Haley relationship because they're trying to save their people? You know, can they still get behind that, or do they not care about the people as much because they just want their ship to float? I don't know. Do you feel like being Elijah, you can still support Jackson and Haley?
I can because of the bottom line, which is saving the people and saving hope. So I'm all for it. And like I said, I really feel bad for Jackson because he does love her. And I think she wants to love him. She really does. But I love that Elijah relationship.
Great mention of hope. By the way, we have a baby back. Mm. So
sorry, I just noticed that this is Marco Polo on the TV.
Oh, well, so for anybody watching,
we're the originals.
We're the originals, and we're supporting our other new After Buzz after shows here. Marco Polo, everybody.
Sorry.
Woo!
Roxy gave me that look, because I was like, wait a second.
Well, I know you've got a lot going on in your brain right now, girlfriend.
So much.
You just do. You really do. But I'm just surprised with how observant you are. And not in like I'm surprised because you're not usually observant, just surprised and really proud.
Oh, thanks.
It was
Mom.
Your witchy senses.
It was.
All right, but let's talk about hope. So we got the baby back. Mm. Now we have to protect the baby at all costs.
I love that Klaus introduced the baby to Cammy. He just confides in her all the time. He trusts her. I love it.
Yeah, I love that too, but doesn't it make you a little nervous? Doesn't it make you feel like she's going to have to be compelled after all of this?
I don't think so, because she's kept a lot inside so
far.
Well,
I don't mean on purpose, but, you know, if another vampire asks her a question and compels her, she has to say.
But I don't know. She's compelling. Maybe she's wearing vervain.
Maybe.
She can do that.
I hope she's on vervain by this point.
That's true.
And I also believe that
she... can always drain her blood, though.
Yeah, that she respects the family enough mm-hmm. to keep that secret.
Right, I don't think she would openly go say something, but people can pull things out of you. You know? Which would make me nervous. That's why, I don't think they didn't trust her back then, but that's why nobody could know except for Haley and Klaus. Marcel didn't even know about Hope.
Well, that's the thing that scares me more than anything, is that once one person knows, then it's a trickling effect, because once you tell one person, then what's to stop you from, okay, well, you know, she's in our circle, like, she can know. Okay, he's in our circle, he can know. And then that's how it starts spreading down and everyone starts knowing. And that's what I'm afraid of more so than someone getting it out of Cammy.
Are we going to keep the Marco Polo background? I'm just curious. All right, continue.
It would look worse to try to switch it at this point. I'm super sorry, guys.
But let's just make a fun game out of it. Yes, Marco?
Polo.
Katie, go ahead.
I was just going to say that I think it's part of the storyline that they're trying to go with, that it's going to be discovered that Hope is alive.
All right, so the storyline of who's trying to discover, like, who would be the worst person that this could leak to?
Dahlia.
So in order to get to Dahlia, who would it have to go through? Like, that's the thing. We don't really know where Dahlia is, or if she's, like, all-knowing, or if...
The other thing is, at this point, everyone believes she's dead. No one has an inkling.
Hope or Dahlia?
Hope. No one has an inkling at all that Hope is even alive. Mm-hmm. Everyone is firm in believing that she's dead, which is proven when Cammy comes and it's like, I thought you said, he's like, we had to let everyone think that. So I don't think that Hope necessarily is at the forefront of people's minds of, let's sneak around and see if we can figure out where they're hiding their daughter Hope.
Right. Okay. But the trickle event will lead to that.
Yes.
What did you guys think about the Elijah flashbacks and what he kept doing to Cammy? Uh-oh.
As soon as she spilled that drink on him, I was like, oh, my gosh, because he gets dirty, and then he has these, remember? Yeah, in the cafe, he got something spilled on him, so he went and killed everybody.
Right, but the weird thing that he said was, I'm not as fragile as my brother thinks I am. What does he mean by that? Because to me, I feel like he is as fragile.
I took that as him trying to not have her be so scared, because that was the first time it happened. And after the second time, he just ran away, because that time was a little, you know, it progressed, it escalated more.
When I ask, and this is funny because it's both of you about violent things, you both smile a little bit, which is a little creepy for me on this side of the room. I just had to throw that out there in case anybody else was wondering if I was going to get, like, vamp sucked by one of you at the end of this. I'm like, ooh, when he grabs her, you both, like, light up and smile.
We have so much to say.
Yeah, that's true. And also, Elijah, he's a little sexy when he's got his bad side on. I gotta say that.
I love his suit and tie all the time, though.
Yeah.
It's creepy for us to smile when you mention violence, but you think a violent man is sexy.
I don't think, it's because he hasn't actually gotten, like, violent. I mean, if he was to, like, punch Cammy in the face, that wouldn't be sexy. But the fact that he's, like, a little more aggressive than usual, because he's usually so cool, calm, and collected, a little aggression, I mean, maybe not the wrist grabbing. But the OCD rub out of the arm. I'm going to say something that's going to get myself in trouble here, aren't I?
I was just going to say, I just want to point out that they're horrible babysitters, because not once did they check on baby Hope at all.
Hope could be gone. We wouldn't know.
I didn't remember that they were watching her because of that reason.
You didn't even hear like a, oh, let me go check on the baby. Like, there was no mention after her.
Let's rewind for a second.
She never
do it again.
Cries.
T, you got to do it again. What was that noise? Wow.
She never cried.
Wow.
That's like the sound effect that they put in for a baby in TV.
We've never heard that.
It's like a kitty cat. From her, no. From Tiana, yes, we have.
Yeah.
All right. So that's what's going on. Everybody is stuck. So we've got the whole clan, the vampire wolves that were stuck in that house. And then we've got the Hope, Cammy, Elijah team that are kind of stuck in that place. And now we have a house that people are actually going crazy inside of. So, for lack of better words, this is the madhouse.
It's an asylum.
It's an asylum. It's the madhouse asylum that was it reminded me of, like, American Horror Story. Yeah. It, this was really, really creepy. The smile.
See,
the
I
smile
know.
The smile when I talk about the asylum.
But I was just going to say that I actually enjoy this storyline. It's creepy, but that's what makes it fun. It's like, we have all these questions, and what the hell is this?
Yeah,
I did not sleep last night. I watched this right before I went to bed last night, and during that final scene when she's following a ghost, one, and then there's a coffin, two, and then it's going back and forth between letters and then the coffin, and I was like, she's gonna bust out of there, and I had my hands over my eyes. I could not fall asleep after watching this last night.
Yeah. It was like it was a scary. Better form of the movie Ouija. I mean, they're like communicating with the dead or the not-so-dead. All right, here are the questions we have. Number one, how on earth, jumping to the very end here, is Freya alive but not alive, in a coffin but not in the coffin, being a ghost but not a ghost, and communicating through Scrabble letters?
I just thought of something. Remember when she was the date for Cole, about like 100 years ago?
When Freya?
Yeah.
Keep talking. Sorry, I'm agreeing with you. Like, keep going.
Freya was the date for Cole.
The woman.
No. In the winter finale, the blonde chick who Rebecca talked to.
Mary Claire. Oh.
No.
She wasn't one of the two witches. She was a different one.
Get me there.
She was saying you should pick a better date, and she's like, he's not my date.
Oh, and she liked Klaus, or she liked one of the
She was with Cole at that event 100 years ago.
Okay.
And that's what Cole is getting Rebecca back for, because he thought that...
Oh, the payback.
Yeah. So this girl, though, I think it was Freya... And a lot of people were telling us on, you know, YouTube and everything that they think it's Freya. And I think that Cole knows about Freya and put her there or has something to do with why Freya is there in that coffin.
Well, Cole and Freya are siblings.
Yeah.
And Freya has been taken by
Dahlia.
So how could Cole be the one responsible for that?
Well, Cole is always interested in the dark arts, just like his... Aunt Dahlia.
Yeah.
And we really don't know what happened to Freya, like what side she's on, what she's thinking, what she's been doing for all these years, but that was her character in the mid-season finale. So her being in this witch asylum, Cole knows how to put people here. I feel like he knew that he brought Freya to that event.
I would be skeptical of that only because he's the one who just put Rebecca there, and I don't think he would be so unorganized to put the two of them in the same place in case they would band together somehow? Or do you think he did that on purpose?
My thought was just more the coffin that's up there. I thought it had to have been in there probably before those girls got locked in there originally.
Yeah. Oh, you think so?
Because so far, like, I don't know if anyone dies when they're in this asylum or if it's kind of like, sorry to go to Vampire Diaries, but if it's like a 1994 thing over there happening in this house where no one's aging or dying. You're just kind of
living
in this house forever. So why would a coffin be there? Two, I don't know that in the coffin is actually Freya, because the ghost kind of popped up at the same time as they were doing the letter thing.
They're both blonde.
But they never actually like said, because why didn't she put Freya before she started walking away? Like, maybe the ghost is...
Well, she wasn't trying to let the kindreds
see it.
Yeah.
It's just confusing. Also, why... Who are these people that are, for lack of better words, working there? And why are they trying to eliminate everybody's magic when really you think everybody would want to get out? You know? Like, shouldn't they all band together to try to get out of the madhouse? No?
I don't know if there's a way, or at least they think there's no way to get out. And they were practicing, it says the kindred practice dark magic, necromancy, immortality spells, so their coven locked them up there, and I think they're just, like, trying to be in
charge.
Happy
to be there?
Yeah.
They're so creepy.
So they're trying to be in charge.
So if anybody can find a way, I bet that it is Rebecca. And I'm loving seeing Cassie. Shout out to Natalie, who's doing an amazing job. It's really cool to watch these actors that play one role and then completely transform their mannerisms to play another role, which is what Natalie's really done here. And I like the pairing of Cassie and Rebecca. And it was interesting that Cassie was smart enough to notice Rebecca, which means that I think that her character could be really useful at some point. All right, guys, is there anything else that we missed in this episode before we get to some news and gossip? Okay, news and gossip then.
Yeah.
AfterBuzz TV News.
What we got, Kate Campbell?
I tweeted something out from Entertainment Weekly that was talking. Julie Plec and Michael Narducci said that Davina will have to turn her attention back to the witches at some point because Finn is going to take control of them and he's going to kind of hijack them and abuse them. So she's going to have to turn her attention back there.
I wonder what that will mean for her relationship with Cassie.
With Cole?
No, with Cassie, because Cassie was one of the Harvest Witches, and maybe that has something to do with him trying to take over the witches in the house, as opposed to just the witches outside.
Does he know about them, do you think?
Wasn't Cassie one of her best friends? One of Davina's best friends?
She was one of the Harvest Girls.
Yeah, so.
So they were all Harvest Girls together. But Cole knows about the house,
and but
I'm more determined to see Davina see Cole's true colors and still make the choice.
The great colors? The beautiful colors?
The true colors of crazy. His nature of being a crazy psychopath.
The vibrant colors? Hot pink.
Yes.
Lime green.
And to see if she's going to choose to go to, you know, allow him to do this and kind of take that path of darkness, or if she's going to stand on her own two feet and be like, hey, this guy's not great, and he's not who I should be with right now. And
I wonder what she'll choose.
Yeah.
What do you think? She'll choose love.
I want her to choose the right thing, but for story plot, I want her to choose the bad thing.
Got it.
Okay. I think it would be an interesting story if she did that. And in the article, they also mentioned that Hope is, because we've always wondered what she really is.
Yeah.
She's a witch, she's a wolf, and she's a vampire.
Yeah.
And they were talking about what she's capable of and how that will be explored on the show is going to be shown in the next couple of episodes.
Cool.
Yeah, so we're going to see more about that. And they
Benjamin
said,
Button?
Yeah, I don't know, actually, about the age part. But they said if she was evil, that she would be unstoppable. So for her,
wait,
she has to be...
If she was evil, she'd be unstoppable. Interesting.
So they were saying that she has to have good parenting.
Ooh.
Yeah. And another little thing that someone tweeted out to us about a month ago about the girl that plays Rebecca. Her name is Mace Richardson Sellers. She, this is one of her first.
The girl that Rebecca's in her body right now.
In her body, yeah. She is going to be in the Star Wars movie, and this is one of her first actual acting gigs other than, like, two shorts.
That's amazing. I think she did a really great job.
Yeah.
I hope that we see her around for a while longer, but I also kind of hope that we see the Rebecca Claire Holt version. So I'm a little torn here. Know and love all versions of Rebecca. All right. Let's move on to predictions then.
Yeah.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Okay, team. So we know from scenes from next week that Marcel got bit. He got bit with the wolfies. And obviously we know from previous times that this means he needs Klaus's blood. For me, this whole we need Klaus's blood thing is getting a little old. What do you guys think about this? Are you excited to see him go through all this pain just to have Klaus save him at the end of the day? Shocker.
I mean, maybe they're throwing this in there just to create tension or something. I don't know. I don't know who bit him. Was it Jarek?
It must be. We gotta make Jarek the villain somehow. It is a little different because usually Klaus is like, I might not give you my blood unless this, but this time I think Klaus will be willing to, but the barrier is gonna stop them.
But that's what I don't understand. Is it just the people or the actual beings going through, or can they throw a vial of blood in?
I don't think they can throw anything.
I feel like it's stopping anything, but I want to see them try to see what happens to it, because looks like if you try to put your hand through, it burns you. Mm. So what happens if you try to throw some blood in there?
You might get burned.
You might get burnt by blood.
Ooh, ew. Any other predictions for next week or for the rest of the season?
I don't think Finn's going to help them.
You don't think Finn's going to help who?
The vampires get out. Because remember, he said, if Mother's alive, I'll think about helping. Oh, he's not going to help because of what they did.
Yeah, because of how they turned her.
Yeah, and I do think Haley might fall in love with Jackson at some point in the future, but it doesn't mean that she's still not in love with Elijah.
Hmm. You think she'll have dual love going on?
Yeah.
And maybe for you Klaus fans out there, she'll have tri-love.
Tri-love. Tri-tip love.
I totally have tri-tip love.
I just think that the wolves and the vampires will come together to help each other out in this situation. But what happens after they defeat Finn, I don't know if they can keep up the kumbaya love that, you know, will form eventually.
Okay, and on that note, in case everybody wants to talk to you guys until next week, and thank you guys, by the way, for joining in the chat. We really appreciate it this week. But if you want to keep the conversation going, Tiana, where can they find you?
I am on Twitter and on Instagram at TheTianaHobson. And thank you guys for chatting with me. Sorry I was so bad at it. I'll give people shout-outs next week. You guys had a lot of great predictions and thoughts going on along with us.
And Katie, where can we find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Katie Campbell. That's Katie with three E's, and Instagram at KatieCampbell13.
And you can find me at Roxy Stryer. And if you did say something in the chat or not and you still want to contribute, of course, as always, you can go to iTunes and YouTube, rate, comment, subscribe. We read every single thing you guys say. We love you guys so much. And please keep the conversation going, because without you throughout the week, we are lonely. Until next week.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.